Let's read Galatians 3. So we're going to read verses 1 to 9. Hear the word of the Lord. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, there's a million ways that this could go in one ear and out the other. Lord, don't let that happen. Holy Spirit, transform our hearts. God, I ask that you would specifically work in all those among us who really struggle whether they belong or not. Here, maybe in church, most of all. And in church, not just in this building, but among your people, Lord. We carry in so much baggage. We carry in so many experiences, so many hurts. So many things we've heard about people in church, Lord, so many things that we know to be true. Because it's all true of us. God, fix our eyes on Jesus so that we would understand, that we would desire you more than anything else in this world. Let your love define us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do you think Paul's making such a big deal about being a son or daughter of Abraham? Why do you think? I mean, does it really matter to you, for one? So, I was thinking, why don't we kick a hornet's nest a little bit this morning? What do you think it means to be a true American? What is it that makes someone a true American? I had a fascinating, great conversation with my son Micah about this week. It was like I said, fascinating. It was a great way to spend a morning with him. I mean, is it where you're born? Well, yes and no, right? Is it a piece of paper, or is it a ceremony you go through? Is it something different than that? Is it an ideal of freedom and how we use power? Is it a way of is it a vision of hope for the future? What is it that makes somebody truly an American? When you think about that, even for half a second, you realize that's not an easy question to answer. But it sure matters, doesn't it? It matters for how we relate to each other, how we respond to each other, how we hear each other, the things we believe about each other. It matters to the way we see immigrants, It matters to the way we see people who disagree with us. It matters. How do you know that you belong? That is just as complicated a question. How do you know you belong here right now? It's more than just, do I fit in, isn't it? Though that's usually where we stop. How do you know? On whose authority do you rely to know you belong here? This has everything to do with whether you and I belong to the people of God. And there's only one people of God. The Bible names that people Israel. Not the modern nation state of Israel, but Israel as all the people of God, all the heirs of Abraham. If you're included in Israel, you have all the promises of God given in his covenant. You have his promises to forgive, to reconcile, to restore you, to bless you, to give you a permanent home, to give you rest, to redeem you, to resurrect you, to be present with you always, to be your God, and to name you his beloved child. All of those things, if you're included in his people, you're either a child of Abraham or you are alienated from God. There is no other option. It's the unanimous testimony of Scripture. Now, put that way, it sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Whether you're an heir of Abraham. And I stand by everything I just said. That's what's at issue today. Do I belong? It's the reason Paul is talking about circumcision. Circumcision is the God-given covenant sign and seal of the inheritance of God's promise to Abraham. Circumcision is the one thing that Paul's contemporaries, that Paul himself would have pointed to and said, that's how I know I'm a part of the people of God. If a man did not have this sign, he did not belong to the covenant with Abraham. He did not belong to Israel. So it's important that we recognize that's what we're talking about. Ryan, a couple weeks ago, was up here preaching, and he mentioned this group of people that he called the circumcision party, which sounds like an awesome party, right? So I don't know if you were, you know, how you thought about this, but it's not. The question here is not about some ceremonial rite that we don't necessarily care about anymore. I want you to understand the larger story that you are in, if you are in Christ, if you are a part of God's family. Your story has changed. But I really don't care if circumcision itself feels like a live issue for you or not. I just want you to recognize that this isn't about just something that they used to do and we don't care about anymore. This is about, like, if you could hold up one thing that makes you feel like you belong, this is it. This is it. Where the Scriptures promise blessing, that promise was for Israel, guys. Where those blessings extend to the nations, they're extensions of God's promises to Israel. In Jeremiah 31, when God says he'll give a new covenant, he says, I am going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. We talk about that new covenant every week when we go to the table. And I tell you the words that Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood shed for many. It is to be included. This is why if you read through the book of Romans, in Romans 1, Paul says, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And then later on in Romans 11, he talks about how Gentiles have been grafted in to the people of God. And the only way that we can be brought in is the only way anybody can be brought in is to be reconciled, to be forgiven and justified and adopted by God. So this is what's at issue here. There's one people of God. Do you belong to the people of God? How do you know? The Galatians were wrestling with this very thing and turning the gospel inside out. Reversing it, actually. Paul, what is he? In chapter 3, verse 1 there, he calls him the foolish and bewitched. Their turn, they had turned so quickly and entirely away from the truth that it was as though an evil spell had been placed upon them. They were deceived. And by the way, just so we're clear about that, being deceived, the whole thing about being deceived is you think you're right. Nobody thinks, oh, I'm deceived. But he also, so he calls them bewitched. He calls them, but then he calls them foolish. Foolish, that's more of a, that's not like something deceiving you. That's more of a conscious turn from the obvious, from wisdom. Paul says it was Jesus who was publicly portrayed as crucified before your eyes. Paul didn't give them anything else to hope in. Remember, Paul said, my only hope is that Jesus is in me. I've died. Christ lives in me. And I live now by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what, as we read on, Paul asks them a bunch of rhetorical questions. And a rhetorical question is mostly not meant to be answered. It is meant to snap you back into place, to show you the obvious. And he does that in basically two ways. The first way he does that, Galatians, Christ Community Church, does what you're attempting to add to the gospel right now line up with your own experience? Paul says, what actually happened? Did you do a bunch of good stuff to receive the Spirit? Like finally God said, okay, you're good enough, I'll be with you. Or did the Spirit come upon you when you heard that Jesus came, lived, died on the cross, was raised, and is coming again, and you believed that? Isn't that when the Spirit came? You know you didn't do anything, he's saying. In fact, it was actually in spite of what you did that the Spirit was given to you. So then having begun by the Spirit, he says, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Having begun this journey, are you going to by the Spirit, are you going to complete it on your own? Having begun the journey by Jesus, is Jesus just a gateway into salvation? And now you have to manage that path all by yourself? What did you really experience? It's as though Paul is saying, do you really think that the Spirit of God needs your help to complete the work? Do you think that you somehow can complete the journey by works of the law that weren't even, when you weren't even able to start this journey by works of the law in the first place? What do you think? Do you think that having given you the Spirit already, and he's already defined that, he said, Christ lives in me. Do you think that there's something missing? As though God would give you more of his Spirit if somehow you shaped up and got yourself right? In verse 4, he says, did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. That if indeed is more like, I mean, was it for nothing? Was it for nothing? We don't really know what the Galatians had suffered, but we can make a pretty good educated guess as to why. They suffered because they believed in the cross of Christ alone for their salvation. And the reason why I say that is if you turn to the final chapter of Galatians, in Galatians 6, one of the things that he says in Galatians 6, verse 12, is that it's those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. That's exactly what has been happening. You suffered, he says, because of the faith in the crucified Jesus alone. Was that for nothing? Did you really need to add to it? So that's the first thing. Does it really match up to your experience? Second thing we find in verse 5. Does it match what you're believing and attempting, what you're believing, what you're attempting to add to the gospel, does it match up to what you know about God himself? Does God who gives the Spirit and work miracles, does he unleash his life? Does he unleash his power in your midst because you did anything? Guys, was your performance really that good? Was it? It doesn't line up with what we know about God. It doesn't line up with Scripture. Is the idea that God saves you and brings you into his rest, is the idea that that's because of something you did, does that even sound like the God of Abraham? The God of Exodus 34 who said, I'm the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, who said that not when things were good, but when Israel had just committed idolatry. Does it sound like the God who in Isaiah 43 who says, I blot out your transgressions for the sake of my name? Does it sound like the God in Isaiah 49 who says, you are engraved in my hands? In Isaiah 55, come all who thirst, come to the waters, come buy and eat. Does it sound like that God, that God needs or desires for you to work your way to him in some way? The God who in Zephaniah 3, in the really clean pages of your Bible, who says he'll rejoice over you with gladness, who sings over you? Does it sound like this God? When did God save Israel from Egypt? Had they done anything? When did he call them his own and say he was their God? Had they obeyed the law? No, they didn't. Actually, they complained a whole lot on the way to get the law. At what point in God's dealing with Israel did he give them his presence because they obeyed? As we see over and over and over again in the story of Israel, in the story of the people of God, in our story, God gives his presence in spite of disobedience, overcoming disobedience. If you want to enjoy the covenant blessings of God, if you want to enjoy his presence in your life, you need to abide in God by faith and obey. You do. Like that, there's no way to enjoy his blessings in another way. But the relationship itself, the reason that you belong can only be by grace, ever. If through the Spirit of God, Christ has given himself to you and lives in you, what are you still trying to gain? You have it all. Would the promise of more. How then are we made heirs of Abraham? If that's the case, if we have to be heirs of Abraham, and if the Spirit was given to us not by works but by hearing with faith, how are we made heirs of Abraham? How is it that we know that we belong? And Paul says in verses 6 to 9, he starts talking about this, that Abraham himself was justified by faith. Abraham himself was given the covenant because of his faith, by faith, not because he did anything. He's talking there about Genesis 15. I'm not going to turn us there right now, but you should write that down if you don't already have it down, and you should go and read it. It's fantastic. And there's all kinds of crazy, awesome things happening in Genesis 15. But right there, God, Abraham, having no heir, having no prospects, having no child, and having no other reason to think that he would have one. He heard God's promise that he would have a child, that his descendants would be like the stars in the sky, and he believed it. Paul says in verse 8 that Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And so it preached the gospel to Abraham first, so that he would be the father of all who believe. Abraham was told, in you all the nations would be blessed. So when in the time of Paul's writing, in the after Jesus had ascended and poured out his Spirit, and the Gentiles are being brought in, when we are being brought in, that is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. When God promised to Abraham that in you all the nations would be blessed, this is the fulfillment of that. He makes good on that promise to his friend Abraham by justifying us by faith. But it's not faith in general. It's faith in Jesus. Jesus, friends, Jesus himself is why we belong. We belong because we're united to him. Remember Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. We saw that last week. Later, we're going to see this maybe next week or the week after, that I can't remember which. But Paul calls Jesus the seed, the offspring of Abraham. The whole Gospel of Matthew, if you ever read the Gospel of Matthew, it starts with these words that we tend to just kind of glance over. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He is the true heir. Jesus is the heir of Abraham. He is the heir of all God's promises. All those promises are given to Jesus. They all belong to him. And so by faith, through the Spirit of God, we are united to the true Son and heir. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. That is why we belong. How do I know? How do you know that you belong? It's not because of something you did. It's not because of something I did. But it's because you've been united to Jesus, the beloved Son, who loved you, who gave himself for you. And because of that, now by faith in this Jesus, and in Jesus alone, my story has changed. And so has yours. You are a child of Abraham because of Jesus. You've been brought in. You've been grafted in. You've been embraced into God's family. You belong because of Jesus. You have a place because he came. You have a family because he died. And you are deeply connected because he rose again. And if that's true, friends, as our brother Greg preached about a month ago, we are free. If that's true, we are free. We're free from our sins. We're free from other people's opinions of us. And that's what usually comes into, everything comes back to high school or junior high, doesn't it? Do I belong here? Do I fit in? Because of Jesus, we are free of that. We are free also of the voice that is right back here that condemns you, that keeps telling you you're not good enough, that this is all going to get snatched away, that somebody's going to see you for who you are and say, I don't want any part of you. With Jesus, that will never happen. Ever. With Jesus, who promises that all who come to him, he will never, ever, ever cast out. That will never happen. You do not have to. Because you belong to Jesus, you belong among us. You are a part of the people of God. There is no question. I know that many of us in this room really, really struggle with these ideas about whether we belong or not. And they come at us in many different ways. It comes at us in the sense of like, I can't disappoint these people, or I have to show up to everything. And if I have to show up to everything, that means I probably shouldn't show up to anything, because then I just won't, because otherwise I'll disappoint people. Or I don't have enough knowledge, or I don't have enough good works, or I come from the wrong family or the wrong background or whatever. Jesus has freed us from this. You, because of what he's done, belong to him. I had a way that I wanted to end all that. And I think I'm just not gonna. I want you to wrestle with this. Ask Christ to show you the truth if you're struggling with it today. Ask him for the confidence to believe, the faith to believe that he is actually enough. And put to death the voices, whether they're that are in your head, that keep telling you that it's not for you. Let's pray. Lord, after reading this, after talking about this, after thinking about this for a long time, Lord, at the end of it, all we need is you. All we need is you. You have the power to transform our hearts immediately, to change things for us, to overcome fear, to overcome condemnation. And not just the power, Lord, you have the delight and the desire to do it. That is what your word tells us, and we trust you. Lord, for all who are struggling with this today, Lord, pour out your grace. For all who feel stuck in this place where they feel like things, they're just on the outside looking in. Lord, give the faith that they need to trust you. Lord, give me the faith that I need to trust you. Lord, we are what you tell us we are. Beloved children. all because of Jesus. Don't let us add to it even for a second. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose again. This is good news for you.